Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, thank you, Dave. Julian Helig joins us right now. He is the Dean of the University of Kentucky's College of Education. Good morning, sir. And I apologize in advance for any interruptions, but when you work from home, you work from home.
You know, we're all making it work right now. Yeah, absolutely.
Good to join y'all. Nice for you to take the time with us, and we appreciate it. What about changes to the school system, not only going back in fall, but maybe even after this, something maybe that we like working from home, maybe you discovered that it's easier to do that under certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. How is coronavirus likely to change education K through 12 as we see it for next year and maybe into the future? And I know that's a lot of information, but the floor is yours. So please, sir, take your time.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could talk about this for a couple of days. Coronavirus really impacts every single thing that schools do. From start to finish, it's radically impacting education. So, but you had said, you know, when we come back in the fall, I'm not so sure, and I think a lot of superintendents and other folks would probably agree with me. We're not so sure we're going to be back in the fall. And back in the fall in the traditional way that we've attended school, I think, you know, as you look across the spectrum, there's really four options that are kind of coming to the surface in terms of what the fall looks like. One of those things is scheduled rotations. So you have groups of kids rotating at different times through the school. You have an opt-in model where you have parents. Some parents are probably just not comfortable sending their kids back without a vaccine. Maybe some are. So you have this sort of optional opt-in. And then you have this hybrid where you may have some things that are happening on campus and other things that are happening online. And then you have the fully online, which is what you've seen happen over the last couple of months in Louisiana and other states. So the fall is kind of up in the air, and not just K-12, higher education is the same way. I was just on a conference call with the president and provost's office here at the University of Kentucky. We're sorting through those things because we don't really know what the virus is going to look like. We also don't know what the path of the virus is going to be. Is it going to be a whipsaw where we come back and or we shut down and then we come back? There's just really a lot of unknowns. And so in summary, we don't know what the fall looks like. But this clearly is one of the biggest disruptions that education has ever experienced. Of course, you had Katrina there, and that was a big disruption. But I think what we have to be careful of is those folks that come peddling snake oil, so to say, which is that, well, maybe education should be online permanently, or, you know, these sort of permanent solutions. You know, this is a problem that we're going to be dealing with for the next 6 to 8 months, maybe longer. It just depends on when the vaccine arrives or the drug cocktail arrives. So we just got to be careful. Is online education what's right for every kid? Well, it's a solution that we've got to access right now. But is that, you know, we know, for example, that online charter schools, let me give you California, for example, they have more dropouts than they have graduates. Credo's study on online charter schools showed that they vastly underperform traditional schools. So is an online charter school for every kid the right approach here? Probably not, but there is definitely some disruption occurring.
Yeah, talk about the digital divide, if you would.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. So I'm going to tell you, at Kentucky in the fall last year, we handed out iPads to every single student. And then there was, but there was a lot of sort of outcry about that, disagreement about whether we should be handing out iPads to every single student. But now here, 10 months later, it almost seems prescient. But not every school district has the ability to give each and every kid an iPad. As we know, in Louisiana, the average per pupil spending is above the national average. However, there are vast disparities between districts in that state. The top 5% have an average per pupil spending much higher than the rest of the state. So there are wealthy districts, there are poor districts, and even within districts, there are some schools that are more privileged than others. And so in an environment where we're depending on technology, we're depending on parents to work with educators to make sure that students are getting the educational opportunities, what's happened is we're enhancing the inequalities that already exist. And there are some parents that are not staying home. They're working. They're still working two jobs, et cetera. And so they're trying to balance having their kids out of school and their work requirements. So this is a real challenge. We know what the inequities are in our society. They're readily apparent. We've been discussing them for decades. And what COVID-19 has done is it's enhanced those inequities. The ability of parents to help their children, the technology that's available to them and that the district is able to provide for them or their parents are able, you know, high-speed internet seemed like a luxury, but when you have four or five Zooms running in a home at the same time, you have to have that high-speed internet, but it's not inexpensive. Having every kid in your home have an iPad seemed like a luxury before COVID-19, but for their instruction to occur in a regular pattern, you have to have that now. So those inequities in family income, those inequities in what districts have available to them are now enhanced.
And then that's meanwhile, back at the ranch, I guess I could say, with the parents at home, a lot of them are in dire financial straits, and now is not right. The time to buy electronic devices for kids. And even at the state level, states are in trouble as well because of COVID-19, right. And they are not really in a financial position to buy electronic devices for students either.
It's a really tough situation, and so we've got to sort through this. You know, academic leaders, whether they're K-12 superintendents or university presidents, this is an unprecedented situation, and so we say here at Kentucky, we've got to make decisions and we've got to figure things out in days, not weeks. We don't have weeks to make these decisions. Now is when we find out whether we've chosen the right leaders to lead us through this crisis, this pandemic. But I think that what's important is that districts have to consider that fact. They have to consider the fact that some families have less opportunity than others and make that a part of their strategic planning for the virus. And that's really the key here is how do we plan for the different, we have a school here, an early childhood center, and we have to plan for all the different possibilities that could happen this summer, that could happen in the fall. And so having a strong plan in the state, Kentucky just recently released their COVID-19 plan. And how do we plan at the school level? How do we communicate with parents? You know, communication between schools and parents was already challenging and problematic. And so how do we do it now? We need to have a healthy at work officer in every school that can be the liaison between schools and parents. We need to establish a communications plan. Every school, every district needs to have a plan for the different types of eventualities so that parents are in the loop, communities are in the loop. We need to educate and train employees. Not everybody wants to wear a mask. And as you see in the news, things are happening when in retail and other places when people refuse to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. How do we train our teachers to deal with those types of situations? We need contact tracing protocols in schools and districts. So when kids get sick or teachers get sick, how do we notify folks that have come into contact with those folks? And we need to have a flexible calendar. We need to understand that enrollment may fluctuate during the year. These are things that we're just not used to. And how are we flexible with attendance? And how do we do with truancy online? Literally everything that happens in education is impacted by COVID-19.
Julian, we're out of time, but I certainly hope, I should call you Dean Helig, that you come back with us, because this is not going to go away anytime soon. And again, as you said when we first started, we could spend days talking about this. Thank you, sir. Have a good and safe weekend.
Glad to help. Have a good day.
Dean Julian Helig, you too, Dean of the University of Kentucky's College of Education. The I-10 is closed in both directions between the Oak Harbor exit and the Twin Spans due to some down power lines. And I'm getting some texts about when is this going to open up. And I'm not trying to be flippant when I say when it opens up. I guess as soon as they get the cable situation rectified. So we're going to take a break, come back, talk about masks with Meg Farris, whose dad delivered a lot of the babies here in New Orleans, including my own daughter. And we'll talk to her about wearing a face mask and why it's important, and take the politics out of it completely and look at it scientifically when we come back here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.